Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go. He has done great things. See what a Savior has done. I'm really excited about this morning. This is an embarking of a new chapter in at least part of our church. Is to this week is the beginning of a new program that we're calling Grow Track. And this morning we're going to do that actually in the service. So Bright and Erwin are passing out just the booklets for the first step of Grow Track. So we're all going to go through this together. There is a thing of pens at the back there if you don't have a pen. My mom, Kathy, has pens available if you don't have one. And so we're going to walk through. And this morning, what we are going to do is each of the four steps of Grow Track helps us grow closer to our understanding of who we are, who the church is, and how those two things fit together. And this morning is about discovering more about Cornerstone Church Airdrie, about who we are as a church, about who we are and what we're passionate about, and who we believe that God has called us to be. And then next week, if you choose to take step two, we're not going to do step two during the service, but if you'd like to be a part of step two, there's more of a discovery about who you are and your giftings and your personality and your calling and all of these kinds of things. And then step three is when we discover how those things work together. And then step four is the practical walking out of this. And so this morning, what we're going to do, actually, if you are visiting with our church or if you're new to Cornerstone Church, you're really going to be getting probably a really interesting look, because really you're going to find out everything you need to know about Cornerstone Church in the next 35 minutes. When this is done, you will know inside and out who we are probably better than most people who've been coming here for years, because it's not often that you get to articulate every bit of who a church is on a Sunday morning. There's inferences and there's bits, but this is going to be the entire package. So if you are a guest, you came on a good Sunday, and if you're new to Cornerstone Church, you're going to discover all kinds of things about who we are. Hopefully you've already got a booklet as they're passing them out, and if you need pens or anything like that. If you didn't receive a booklet and you'd like one, there's probably a couple left, so you can just grab one from the back table there if you didn't. But I'm going to give you a quick overview. If you want to have your booklets, you can open them up to the first page there. And what we're going to do is we're going to just walk through this booklet. There's a lot of information. If you're skimming through the booklet there, you're probably thinking, how long are we going to have to sit here for? But we've worked really hard to sort of condense this as best we can and just hit on the major themes and the major points. But on the first page there, it'll say the four steps of Grow Track. And so what we're going to do, Grow Track is made up of four steps. And that's what we're asking for with Grow Track, is 4 weeks. Each session is about half an hour long. Some are really interactive. Some are more just me talking to you. And you can take them really in any order, that if you can't be here for a week when we're offering it, you don't have to, well, I can't take all of them. You can jump in or out if you need to. It's best to take them in the order 1, 2, 3, 4 as we go through, as you'll get more of a complete picture. But we are going to offer Grow Track every other month. So we're going to offer it in September, not in October, then in November, not in December, and so on and so forth. But step one of Grow Track is called Connect to the Vision. And in this step, we'll be giving you the vision of Cornerstone Church Airdrie and how you can connect and partner with the vision of what God is doing inside of this family. Step two is called Discover Your Design. And in that step is where we take a real in-depth look at you. We look at the details of your personality and discover your gifts and see how your design reveals your purpose in life and your best fit inside of church. This week, it's more of like a lab or a workshop than a teaching. It's more hands-on and exploratory than just me talking to you. We will have a spiritual gift inventory, we'll have a personality test, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff to help you see how those two things fit together. The third step is called Develop Your Direction.
And in this step, we'll be looking at what it means to be part of the family here, what it means to be involved in ministry at Cornerstone Church, and learn how to strengthen your character and your gifting to fulfill the potential that God has placed inside of you. And the last step is called connect to our team. And this, again, is another lab and workshop, sort of like number two, where everything that you've learned about us as a church, everything that you've learned about you as an individual, how we've seen how as individuals we work as the church, and then there's this practical outstep of this is what it then means to serve in Cornerstone Church and where perhaps you would be a part of our community. Now, if we have known you for a long time, or if this is your first Sunday here, what I want you to know, and the next thing we're going to talk about, is that we have a vision for your life. We have a vision for you. We have a vision for everyone who comes to Cornerstone Church, everybody who, for whom Cornerstone Church is a part of their story for a long time or a short time. We have a vision that we have for your life and your relationship with God. It's not to freak you out or anything like that, like you don't even know me and you have plans for my life, but that it's a desire that we have as a church that when everybody would come to our church, that they would experience it, they would see certain things as a part of that. And we get these four things from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. And in these verses, Paul is sharing with the church in Ephesus that he planted and started. He's sharing with them what his prayer for them is, that as the pastor of this church, as the planter of this church, I have a prayer for you. And so as Paul, and so we see what Paul said here to this church, and we say our amen to that. And we say, this is what we would have for everybody who's a part of Cornerstone Church. So Paul would write this: since then, I always give thanks for you and pray for you. I pray that the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the wisdom of his Spirit. Then you will be able to understand the secrets about him as you know him better. I pray that your hearts will be able to understand. I pray that you will know about the hope given by God's call. I pray that you will see how great the things are that he has promised to those who belong to him. I pray that you will know how great his power is for those who have put their trust in him. Paul prays four things for the church in Ephesus. Four points of, I pray that you would have this in your life. I pray that you would know this about your relationship with God. And that's those four things are what we, our prayer for you is, our vision for you as an individual, whether you're here with us for a Sunday or for a whole lot of Sundays, our vision for you is these same four things. He prays that they would, the first and the most basic that he prays for them is that they would know God. And so that's the first one. At the beginning of this, Paul will talk about how he wants them to know God. We'd like to make sure that you are introduced to and invited into a relationship with God. But even after that initial step, it's not just an introductory service where we want you to just get to know that there is a God, that there is this God out there for you. But even after that initial step, we would come to know and experience God in new and in fresh and in exciting ways. The ancient Hebrews had an understanding of the word know that goes just beyond having an awareness or a knowledge of God. That it wasn't just somehow, that when we think of the word know, we can think very much intuitively just that I would be aware, that my cognizant memory and mind would have an understanding about something. That's how we know that thing. Like, I know that the capital of Belgium is Brussels. I've never been there. I don't know anything about the city, but I'm aware of this knowledge or this fact. But the word for the ancient Hebrews carried a far more sense of experience. But it wasn't just that I knew that thing, but that I've experienced this thing, so then I know it. That it's more than just, I know this thing to be true, but I've gone through it, I've experienced it, has happened to me, in me, around me, so that I'm able to then say, I know this thing to be true. And that's what we want for you inside your relationship with God. that you wouldn't just have a deeper awareness of the cognizant reality of God and who he is and what he said and what his word says, that certainly we would learn about God, but more than that, it's that you would experience God, that you would experience his goodness. The Bible will talk about taste and see that the Lord is good, that we would have that experience where we would be able to taste and see the goodness of God, and that we would have this experiential, happened to me kind of knowledge of who God is. And then after we know God, after we have experienced God, after we get to know him, then the next three things all flow out of what it means to know God. So the first thing is that we would know God. Second is that we would know his hope. Hope invites us into the stubborn Christian belief that regardless of the pain and the horror of human history and the pain and the horror of the human experience, that someone who follows Jesus is someone who refuses to believe that evil, suffering, and pain get the last word. But that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that when Jesus died on the cross and then rose again from the grave, that means something. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ means something for the future. For our future, for your future, for my future, for the future of the universe. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed the story of the universe around us, the story of humanity. That the resurrection of Jesus changed things. And what that means to us, what that points to for us that changes everything is what we call hope. And this is why it's important that we know his hope, is because when we understand God and we understand what he did for us in his death on the cross, it changes the way that we perceive and we view everything that's happening around us, because we know in the end, there's hope. And we need this hope, this hope that one day this will all make sense, hope that it's not all meaningless, hope that I am something, my life is something, and my legacy will be something, that I can have an impact and change the world, not because I'm so wonderful, but because I have the God of the universe working through me, and he can change my circumstance, he can change the world around me, through me, in me, as he works. I have a hope for the world around me that I can help make things better through God. The third thing that we pray that you would experience at Cornerstone Church is that you would know his purpose. God created you for a purpose. You weren't just spare parts thrown together. You weren't just haphazardly put together. You're not a product of chance. You're not a product of randomness. Scripture will say that he knit you together inside of your mother's womb. Now, I don't know anything about knitting. But what I do know about knitting is that you can't knit by accident. You can't just be sitting on the couch watching a movie and then all of a sudden you've got a sweater. You can't do that. It doesn't happen by accident. So when God will say, I knit you together inside of your mother's womb, that's with intention, that's with purpose, and that is very specifically you. You can't knit by accident. Oftentimes, we can think about our purpose in life, and it comes back to this idea that God's purpose for my life is somehow something about me. That God's purpose for my life is my job. God's purpose for my life is my career. God's purpose for my life is my whatever. But that's not the way that God has called us. He didn't call us to just be about our lives. The reality is that God's call on your life has very little to do with you, but God's call on your life has everything to do with others. That you are called to be an influence. You are called to be a light. You are called to be a servant to others. And so we want everyone who is a part of Cornerstone Church to discover who it is that God has created them to be and how they can find purpose and meaning in serving God and in serving others. And we want every person who comes to Cornerstone Church to live out their very best life possible. And that's not some sort of motivational gobbledygook. Your very best life possible is directly in the center of the will of God's life, or God, center of God's will for your life. Try that again. That is the very best life that you can live. And that doesn't always mean life is easy. The best life that you can have is not always the easiest life, but the best life that you can have is lived in the center of God's will for your life. And as we are in that place, we'll live a life where we will be able to understand what God has for us. Another version of the verse that we read about how we would know the good things that he has for us is it says, another version says, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Our purpose is found inside of other people. The purpose that we have been called to is found inside serving alongside of other people, serving others and serving with others. And the last thing to come out of this verse that we believe is for everyone who is a part of Cornerstone Church is that we would know his power. We want everyone to know, to experience the power that comes from a life-changing encounter, the freedom, the love, the forgiveness, the purpose, and the hope that comes from a life-changing experience because of the power of Jesus Christ at work in your life. We want you to know what it is to know God and have the overflow of that take place in your life. A verse that really opened my eyes to this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it says this, but if a man who is not a Christian comes to your church, while you are speaking God's word, he will understand that he is a sinner by what he hears, and he will know he's guilty. The secrets of his heart will be brought into the open, and he will get on his knees and worship God. He will say, for sure, God is here with you. Now, what God's word is not about is making us feel guilty. And so my hope is that when people come to church, it's not that they feel guilty, that they come in and they're confronted with guilt and shame and all of these things. And that's how they come to know that we're Christians, is that we make them feel guilty. But the hope is that when people come to church, when you come to church, you come into the presence of God and you're made aware of God's power in your life. And as you come in and you experience the presence of God and you experience the power of God as he moves in us and through us, that you would say, I have no question about whether or not God is here. I have no doubt about whether or not I'm in the presence of God, because what else could this be? And so, and the picture that he gives is this person, that Paul gives, is this person coming to church, and he's so confronted by the presence of God and this awareness of the presence of God that he drops to his knees and he realizes he's nothing without his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he confesses faith and belief in who Jesus is. And that, my friends, is what it means to know his power. And this is what I want for our church. This is what I believe God has for our church, is that we would be a place where the power of God is on display. Now, the primary way that we as a church corporately have the ability to bring these things together is through our Sunday services. We believe, and we'll talk about this later on in Grow Track, and in fact, we'll even talk about it in a moment, that we believe that every member of the body of Christ is a minister. And that we're all called to share the love of God wherever we might go. But the church can't go with you to work. It's not practical for all of us to go to work with you. I can't go with you to work. I can't just tag along behind you while you're doing whatever you're doing, and you can't bring the pastor to work with you every day. So the primary focus for us as the church, not you as the individual, but for us as the church, is to have these four things, the primary way that we can see these four things manifest themselves and take place is on Sunday mornings. Is that Sunday mornings is what we have as a time together. And so we have four values for our Sunday morning services, that when you come to church on a Sunday morning, these are the four things that matter to us. The first is that Sunday morning needs to be a celebration. Psalms will say, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. That as we come together as a church, this is not a guilt fest. This is not a shame fest. This is not a let's make people see, or let's see how bad we can make people feel. But we will always do our best to make sure that our services are a place that you're glad to be. That doesn't mean that we'll shy away from hard or difficult subjects or moments, or not being fake or naive about the world around us, but taking all of those things head on with a firm belief in the hope that we have in Jesus, that through tough moments and tough subjects, that they lead to opportunities for God to work in us and for God to change us, and always tackling these things in such a way that leaves us encouraged about what God is doing. We're never about guilt. The Holy Spirit may convict us along the way. There is opportunity for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's conviction is not about guilt. The Holy Spirit's conviction is about hope, because the conviction of the Holy Spirit gives us hope that He can change in us and work in us. He doesn't leave you feeling guilty. He may point out something in your life, but just like the man who's confronted with his sin and he falls down on his knees, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is that God can work in me and God can change inside of me. And so our Sunday morning services will be places where we celebrate, where we worship, where we encounter the presence of God together. Secondly, we believe our Sunday services should be a place of inspiration. Not from me or from any of the other people that you see up on the stage, although we do believe that God can use us to inspire you, that Justine's word this morning can inspire you, that as Matt led us in worship this morning, that can inspire you, that maybe as I'm speaking, there's something that would inspire you. But we believe that it's God who works through us to inspire you. We believe that the presence and power of God at work in our church that will inspire you to change, inspire you to change the way you see things, inspire you to change the way you do things. We believe that when the presence of God is working in us and He's moving in us and working in us to change us and make us into what our created identity is, which is to reflect the image of God, and because of the power of God and work in us, we will be inspired to become more like Him. That as we encounter God, as we experience His presence, as we know Him, and as we experience His power and His hope and His purpose, that we will be inspired in our lives to become more like Him. That the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us and direct us to become more like God. The next thing, thirdly, our Sunday services are a place of preparation. Wherever you are in your faith journey when you come to Cornerstone Church, if it's your first time in church or you've come to church all your life, one thing is true. We all need God. It doesn't matter how long you've served God for. It doesn't matter if you just begin serving God today. The reality is, to face life, we need God. And each week as we talk about Jesus and His life and death and resurrection, my prayer for you is that this wouldn't just be something you hear on a Sunday. But as we talk about whatever it is that we're talking about, it would make a difference in your life on Monday. Then when God speaks to us in this house, it would go on to make a difference in your house. That there would be thoughts, principles, a truth that come out of this that God is going to give you, that you would be able to leave this place knowing that God is working in your life. Sundays are not just a relief from real life, as we don't just come out here or come here because the four walls here shelter us from everything that's going on outside of that, although hopefully there is an aspect of that. But Scripture will say that we come together to stir each other up towards love and good works. That we come together to be inspired to go out and do things, to be prepared to go back into life when we're done here. That this would be like a fill-up station, that we would come and we'd experience the presence of God, and then we would be prepared to go out into the world. And the last thing that we value on a Sunday morning service, which is perhaps probably the most important thing of all the things we value on a Sunday morning, is that a Sunday morning service needs to be a place where people can find salvation. We believe that people should have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior on Sundays. Church is not just for the people that are here, but it's for the people who are not here yet. And the Bible will say, how will they believe unless they hear? And how will they hear unless someone tells them? So we will be a place where each and every week there is an opportunity for people to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have noticed over the last month and a half or so that that is how we have continually been closing out our services, is with an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we will continue to do that because we need to be a place where if someone comes to church for the very first time and doesn't know Jesus, and we believe that God is all the things that we said he is, that they need to hear that they have an opportunity to come to know Jesus. And so this is an important part of who we are. So what does it mean then to be a part of Cornerstone Church? Cornerstone Church is a multi-site church. For those of you who don't know, we have a campus here in Airdrie. We also have a campus in Calgary. And while we may have more than one location, we are still one church. And at the heart of Cornerstone Church is our motto. Our motto, which is following Jesus together. We begin with following as a recognition that we're not the captain of the ship. That it's important that we begin right out of the boat and say, we are followers. We are not the boss, but rather we live our lives in submission to someone else. We don't live or serve or minister or share the gospel for our own glory, our own fame, our own recognition. We don't lead worship. We don't give prophetic words. We don't preach. We don't serve in the nursery. We don't make coffee. We don't bring stuff for bake sales so that people see how amazing we are. We are mere followers doing our very best to be the best followers that we can possibly be as we follow Jesus. So the second part of our motto is following Jesus. Jesus is central to our motto, and it's central to our church. At the heart of the Foursquare Church, at the heart of Cornerstone Church, is the person of Jesus. The four squares of the Foursquare Gospel, if you're new here, that's what those pictures are on the back wall there. If you've wondered why we have a picture of a bird and a cup and a crown on the back wall, those are the four squares of the Foursquare Gospel Church. We are part of the Foursquare Gospel Church of Canada. And the four squares of the Foursquare Gospel are Jesus Christ the Savior, Jesus Christ the Baptizer with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ the Healer, and Jesus Christ the soon and coming King. Jesus Christ is central to who we are as a church, and Jesus Christ is central to who we are as a denomination, which means that it makes sense that Jesus Christ is central in our motto. The person that we follow, the person that we live, serve, and minister for is Jesus. And we believe that he is utterly amazing and worth following with everything that you have. And the last priority that we have as Cornerstone Church, as this multi-site entity, is that whatever we're doing it together. Cornerstone Church is one church that meets in multiple locations. And while that may mean at different times we have different focuses, different priorities in the micro, that in the macro, that in the bigger picture, we are still the Cornerstone Church family. For the Airdrie campus that you're currently sitting inside of, we have three core values that dictate how we do life here in Airdrie. So inside of this bigger picture of who Cornerstone Church is, we have three core values. See, this is what I mean about you're going to hear things that we can't always say every Sunday. Some of you are like, I didn't know that. But this is what I mean about you're going to hear all about the nitty-gritty of our church this morning. The first of our three core values is that we are a family. Jesus would say in Mark chapter 3, whoever does what my Father wants is my brother and my sister and my mother. When we come into a relationship with God, we are brought into the family of God. And Justine talked about that this morning and shared with us about that this morning, about how your identity is as a child of God. And through that, we become family to each other. We're not a family by blood, but we're a family that's been bought by blood. That through the blood of Jesus Christ, this family comes together as a family with all different stories, all different places, all different life experience, and yet somehow we're all united together as a family. As Cornerstone Church, we follow Jesus together, and for Cornerstone Airdrie, as family we go. Secondly, we celebrate children. Jesus will tell us in Mark chapter 9 that how we receive children is a reflection of how we received Jesus. And that's a really profound statement. Because for so many churches and for so many years, children have been treated as if they're a necessary evil, that they should be seen and not heard, that they are this other thing that needs to happen so that the big people can come together and really have church. But Jesus said, if we receive children well, then we've received him well, and not just him, but the one who sent him. So we need to be a church that celebrates and loves children. Because based on what Jesus had to say, if we celebrate children and we love children, then we are a church that celebrates and loves Jesus. And that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. A church that celebrates and loves Jesus. That in at the core of who we are is that we love Jesus. And lastly, the last of those things is that we desire to be multi-generational. A reaction to that last value, to the second value, would be to say, oh, so they're a church for young families. Gotcha. That's where you fall in. Oh, okay, gotcha. We're not a church for young families. We're not a church for people with children. That's something that's functionally impossible to maintain effectively in the long term. And we don't want to have to change who we are every generation or so as the demographics inside of our church change. We don't just put a priority on children. People who have kids need people who had kids to help them be the best that they can. People who are growing up need grown-ups to help them grow up the best that they can. People who have served God for 50 years are an incredible example and need to teach those of us who haven't how to do that. So many people fall by the wayside in their relationship with God, and yet we have an opportunity inside of a fellowship that's multi-generational to look and see people who have served God for a long time, but that makes some people sound old. So for they have more experience in what they do. People without experience need people with experience to help them along the way. Everyone is welcome and everyone is needed. You are never too young to be part of a family. There's not a probationary period when you're born. That would say if you get the first 6 months right, then we'll let you in. And you never become too old. There's not a retirement plan where it's like, well, you've had a good run, but we need to make some room in the family, so you're out. Go away. We need to get young. As a family, we need our demographics to shift younger. And so, sorry, mom, sorry, grandma, whatever, get out. We need to get younger. Age doesn't determine if you're a part of a family. And it doesn't determine if we're part of this family. As long as we are alive, we are a part of a family. So that gives you a picture of who you are or a picture of who we are and what we are as a church. But there's more that I want to present to you today, because I want to talk to you just really briefly about you and what we believe about you. Scripture will tell us that we were created by God to make a difference in the world around us. God has placed you where your unique abilities and passions can impact the lives of other people, and the longing and meaning that people have in their lives will never be fulfilled until you find and develop and fulfill your purpose. We believe that there's not some great divide between ministers or the pastors and the congregation, that somehow there's not a us versus you. Every single person here can do something to impact the lives of others. We believe firmly that every member of Cornerstone Church, every Christian, is a minister. You have been uniquely created and stitched together, placed in a unique situation to do something that is unique to you and you alone. We don't believe that God settled for you, but that he uniquely created you to fulfill a role that only you can. And that's why we believe strongly in people sharing a prophetic word from the congregation. Because it's not just up to me to hear from God for us. It's not just up to Pastor Matt to hear from God for us. But if Justine hears from God, or if Craig hears from God, or if anybody hears from God for our congregation, we are in this together, and you have a unique calling and a unique role. Coupled with that, we believe that every task is important. It can be human nature to rank and assign more value to something than to other, but as a church, we believe that everything we do has a soul attached to it. And because of that, everything we do needs to be done the best that it can. And we believe that there are places in our church that you are uniquely designed to fulfill where you can do your thing better than anybody else can do it. And that goes with our last value that we believe about you, is that every person is a 10 somewhere. Everybody's a 10 out of 10 somewhere doing something. Not everyone is a 10 everywhere. In fact, none of us are. And not everyone is a 10 in what you may perceive or what we may perceive as a glamour spot. But we are all created by God to fulfill a real purpose. And that means you are incredibly gifted in some way to do something. And when you are in the role, or when you are in that role, you will get the most out of it. You will find the most fulfillment. When we discover together where you are a 10, you will get this incredible sense of fulfillment, this incredible sense of purpose, this incredible sense of joy in serving, because you're doing what you were created to do. But it's not just that you will get the most out of it. The kingdom of God will get the most out of you, because you're doing what you believe in. You're doing what you're passionate about. You're doing what you are created to do. All right, session, we've gone through a lot of stuff and we're not quite there yet. But session one is coming to a close. There are just a couple of other bits of information that I'd like to give to you about Cornerstone Church Airdrie. This whole course is designed to help you and us come together. Whether you've been here for a long time or whether you've been here for a short time, this is designed to help us come together as a body of believers. And there are a couple of things that I think you may want to be aware of. Just a couple of like housekeeping sort of bits and pieces about who we are as a church that you may say, oh, I have no idea how that works. And the first of those things is our Cornerstone Church government. Who am I accountable to? And how does that work? What does the leadership structure look like at Cornerstone Church? Well, in the bottom rung, first, Cornerstone Church is led by our pastors. Cornerstone Church and the pastoral staff team as a whole is led by Pastor Barry Marston. Some of you know Barry well, some of you may know Barry a little, and some of you that name may be completely foreign to you. But Pastor Barry also serves as our Calgary campus pastor. And so on Sundays, he ministers there. But Pastor Barry gives oversight to everything we do out here in Airdrie and everything that happens in Calgary. But for this campus, on a more local level, it's led by me, by myself, Pastor Brad. And so I give direct oversight to what happens here, and Pastor Matt serves along with me here. And the pastoral team oversees the day-to-day ministry and operations of the church. These staff pastors, with Pastor Barry's oversight, serve the congregation and are responsible for the spiritual life of the church. Second, Cornerstone Church is protected by our council. Our church members are members of the congregation chosen by the pastoral staff team and the church council and then ratified by the congregation at our annual general meeting. They oversee the finances, the direct provision of the facilities needed by the church, and help give spiritual or guide the spiritual health of our church. They provide the pastors with counsel regarding commitments and potential issues inside of our church. Currently, our church council is structured where there's three people from Calgary and there's three people from Airdrie. When they join church council, they're instructed that they are not a representative of that campus. They are chosen from that campus, but as a church council, as a leadership body, our job is not to represent our campus, but to help guide the overall health of Cornerstone Church. And so that may mean that representatives from Airdrie have to maybe do some things that are not in Airdrie's best benefit because they're to the benefit of Cornerstone Church as a whole, and the same for Calgary. Now, I'd like to introduce you to our council members if you don't know, but none of them are here. So I'll tell you their names, but none of them, well, Sarah Auger is here. She's just serving in the nursery. So she's here. Cynthia Morris is potentially en route. She was working with our missions team to help facilitate all of the stuff with the bake sale. So she was in Calgary, and she's bringing whatever was left over there for us to buy up here. And then Barb Tatlock is in Ontario. So none of our church council members are here, but I'd like to highlight you one thing that is really important to us as a Foursquare church, is that we believe in the presence of women inside leadership. That is at the core value of who we are as a church is women in leadership. And so it is a great pleasure for me to know that our church council right now is made up entirely of women. It's not a slight on men. You guys are all good. I'm a man, so I know. But it's a nice thing to, that there are places where the voice of women are not heard. And so I'm really glad that we have the opportunity to be represented by women. And lastly, Cornerstone Church is strengthened by our denomination. Cornerstone Church is proud to be part of the Foursquare Gospel family of churches. Our denomination gives guidance and resources to our church to provide spiritual protection for our church. They give discipline to the church where it's needed, and they allow us to be part of a family who loves and cares and supports one another. So that's the governmental structure of Cornerstone Churches. We have pastors that lead us. We have council that protects us and watches over us, and then we are strengthened by our denomination. Now, the last thing that I want to talk about in your book there, and it's probably the elephant in the room at most churches, the thing that it's becomes real gray area to talk about, and do we even address it, but we need to address it because it's important, and that's church finances. There's lots for you to read inside of your booklet, and we're not going to read through everything that's there. There's lots for you to read and reflect and look at. But I want to give you a couple of words about what we believe to be true about church finances. We have perhaps a little bit different approach to giving and tithing in church than you may be used to. Many, many churches pass an offering plate. We don't do that. We don't put or take time out of our worship in order to pass an offering plate. We don't do that. We don't pass the plate. We don't even put giving in front of you per se. But there's a danger in that. That by not making giving a physical priority on our Sunday mornings, then it can become less of a priority to the people of Cornerstone. And that's a risk. But we believe that giving of our tithes and offerings to the Lord is such a spiritual component of our Christian faith that we believe that God will take care of us. We believe that giving, and we'll talk about this in a second, that giving of our tithes and offerings is worship. And if we want to worship with all that we are means everything that we are, and that includes our finances. But we believe that giving of our tithes and offerings is such a spiritual component of our Christian life that we believe that God will take care of us. And I would say to you, if Cornerstone Church is your church, or if Cornerstone Church becomes your church, it is up to us as the people of the church to make sure that we are faithful in giving so that we can continue to lead this way. But we as a church do believe in tithing. We choose not to get hung up on the debate, the discussion, or whatever about is it a law? Is it a suggestion? Did it die in the old covenant? Did Jesus or Paul talk about it enough for it to be part of the new covenant? We don't get hung up on whether it's a law or requirement or whatever, but we choose to believe that if it is, or even if it isn't, that it's a guideline and a principle that God has given to us. And those who are members of this church choose to follow it. We give 10% of our income to support our local church, and we encourage each other in that. And so I want to finish talking about giving by just reading for you something that's in your book. Something that I think encapsulates the heart of who we are as a church when it comes to giving. I think it might be on the last page about giving or at the very bottom of the first page. But it says, we believe that the giving of tithes and offerings is worship to Jesus and an expressing of the relationship between the individual giver and the Lord. Funds are not income only. They are worship. And they are not considered to be a business transaction, but an expression of gratitude towards God. That we don't view the money that comes into church as our income. We view the money that comes into church as the worship of the church, and that's how we steward it. That it's not just, well, how much money did we get in? That we don't try to look at it in those kinds of crass terms, but to really understand that as we give, we are giving our worship to the Lord. So that's it. This is step one of GrowTrack. Hopefully that gives you everything you need to know about Cornerstone Church Airdrie. And as we live and serve together here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, our desire is again that we would know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
When I am falling short. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have